Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Today is the first day of the new year, and so we're looking forward to serving the Lord again in the new year 2017. I thank you for all of you that are out there listening today, and since it's first day of the new year, we're all reminded that it's a good time to make resolutions, New Year's resolutions. It's a good time to rededicate ourselves to whatever the Lord has us commissioned to do, whatever He has us called to do, to rededicate ourselves and to look forward with new hope and new vigor, new enthusiasm for the coming year and the prospects of success, the prospects of greater open doors and working for the Lord and walking with the Lord. And so as we think about those things and the coming year, 2017, I want to take us to the book of Nehemiah, which is all about rebuilding and rededicating and taking the old and making something new out of it. As Nehemiah was in a foreign land and he was looking back at his country of Israel, he was looking back at the city of Jerusalem, he was looking at the walls that were broken down, and he was thinking and longing for the days when the walls were up, when the gates were solid, and when Jerusalem was a vital and viable city. And so he was looking back at those days, and he was pining and mourning for the time when Jerusalem was that kind of a vibrant city. And so his heart was heavy, and that's where we take it up here in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 3. And it says that Nehemiah heard about the survivors who were held in the captivity in the province, and they were in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. And verse 4, so it was, when I, Nehemiah, heard these words, I sat down and wept, and I mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Well, we oftentimes survey our life at this time of year, at the end of the old and at the start of the new. We oftentimes survey our life and we think about the ways that we have succeeded, the ways that we have accomplished things for the Lord or accomplished things in our life that we think we are proud of and we know that the Lord are proud of, and we think about those things, and we also at this time reflect on those things that maybe we're not proud of, those things that are broken down in our life, those things in our family that are broken down. And so this is a good time to take stock. Here at the first of 2017, it's a great time in your life to take stock, get off by yourself and do some praying and do some meditating. Think about what you've accomplished in the last year. Think about what you intend to accomplish. What do you want to do in the next year, in the next two, in the next five? Whatever time span the Lord has for you, envision yourself in the days ahead accomplishing great things for the Lord, and just see where it is you want to be. Just ask yourself, what do I want to do in 5 years? What do I want to do in 1 year? And measure your life against some goals that you write down or that you speak out, and get some goals for your life. And so Nehemiah was in that situation. He was in a foreign land because he was amongst the captives that had been taken captive and sent to Babylon, and he was in this foreign land serving the king, and that was his job, to be the king's cupbearer. And so he was over there, and he was far away from his home country. His heart was longing for his home country. His heart was longing for his home city of Jerusalem. And so when the news came to him that the walls were broke down, it says he fasted and he mourned for many days, and he was praying before the God of heaven. And so as we take stock of our life, as we take stock of what it is God has us to do, and whether or not we're accomplishing anything for the kingdom, whether or not we're accomplishing anything for the Lord, as we take stock of that, it is important to then start to pray about, Lord, how can I accomplish for you? How can I accomplish for the kingdom what you would have me to do? How can I move forward into my destiny? How can I move forward into my calling and make the most of my time, redeem the time? How can I move forward and redeem the time in my life and make my life count for something? And it doesn't matter, beloved, if you're single. It doesn't matter if you're married. It doesn't matter if you have a ministry or you're just a baby Christian, or maybe some of you listening today, you're not a Christian at all. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and yet you know there's something missing in your life, and you know there's something, a vacancy there, a void. And so this message is also for you, that as you take stock of your life, you maybe know that there's something that isn't right about your life. We had a salvation in the prison a couple of weeks ago. A man came forward to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and he came forward, and I asked him if he knew anything about God's Word or anything about Jesus Christ, and he says, no, I don't know much about Jesus. I don't know much about God's Word. I just know that I want to be like you guys. I want to have what you have. I want to have the joy that you have. And so even as a baby believer, as a baby Christian, there's times when we know that what is happening in our life is leaving us empty, it's leaving us exhausted, it's leaving us with a lot of remorse and a lot of brokenness. And so as we take stock in our life, just like Nehemiah did, he took stock of the situation that he was in, and he started asking God, how can I move your kingdom forward? How can I help the kingdom, your kingdom here on this earth, and help accomplish what you want to accomplish here on this earth? So as Nehemiah, first he began to take stock of what was happening, and as he learned about the situation in Jerusalem, then the next thing that he did was he started to pray to God. And that's what God always calls us to do. Prayer is a line of communication before God. It's not just begging God for the things that we want or giving God a laundry list of the things that we want. Prayer is actually positioning yourself before God and lining yourself up with God and asking God to accomplish through you or through other people, asking God to accomplish through you His will here on this earth, so that you get in alignment with His will. You become aligned with His desires, not only for your life, but the lives of your family, the life of your ministry, the life of your community, your church, all of those things. As you pray, you start to intercede for people. You start to ask God, what is His will for those people? You start to cry out for the things that are broken. You start to cry out for the things that need help and need assistance and need strengthening. And so as you do that, then you start to position yourself before God, and you start to come before Him, and you say, Lord, how can I be used? How can you use me? I want to be a servant for you. I want to step out and be a servant for you and align my life with your will and with your kingdom here on this earth. And as Nehemiah spoke those words, and as he started to pray, says here in verse 5, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. And we have acted very corruptly against you, and we have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. And remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Verse 9, but if you return to me, God says, and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there, and I will bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. And Lord, I pray also, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I, Nehemiah, was the king's cupbearer. Well, we'll notice several things in this passage of Scripture. First of all, Nehemiah starts to exalt the Lord, and this is a good example for us Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. As Nehemiah started to pray, he started to exalt the Lord, and he started to give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory that he's due. He started to exalt the Lord, and he said, O Lord God, you are great and awesome, you who keep your covenants and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. So Nehemiah was in a very humble position. He was in a place of humility, and he was lifting up God. He was lifting up God, and he was giving him the praise and honor and glory that he is due. Beloved, when you start to realize that without God, you have nothing, without God, you are nothing. Those of you that have been given businesses, those of you who have been given good minds, keen intellect, all kinds of talents, all kinds of special abilities and unique abilities, understand this, that it is God that gives us the power to make wealth. It is God that gives us the sharp mind so that we can accomplish things for his kingdom and accomplish things for ourselves. It is God that gives us everything, the ability to create, the ability to put businesses together or to obtain degrees or obtain status and standing in many different ways. And without him, we would have nothing. Without him, all things would be impossible for us. And so we give God the thanks, we give him the praise, we give him the glory. He is worthy of everything that we can give him. And so Nehemiah is acknowledging the fact that God is supreme, that God is over all. And then he says in verse 6, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now. And so Nehemiah continues in this vein of humility, and he's saying, God, I'm going to pray, and I want you to hear me. I want you to listen to me. Understand this, beloved, that God hears every prayer that you pray. Every time you cry out to him, even if it's just tears, and help me, Lord, if that's your prayer. Help me, Lord, and give me food today. Give me a shelter today. Give me clothing, whatever it is you need. Maybe your prayer is very simple, but if you just cry out to the Lord, he will be faithful and true to hear your prayer. He will be faithful and true to answer your prayer. It isn't always in the way maybe that you want to be answered, but he always answers, and he always has his perfect will in mind. And then Nehemiah goes on to confess not only his own sin, but the sins of his father and the other children of Israel. He says, for the children of Israel, your servants, and I confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. And so that is good for you to clean the slate before God when you come before him and you humble yourself and you are in a position of contrition and a position of humility. You take responsibility not only for your own sins, but for the sins of your countrymen, for the sins of your family. And as you do that, then you clean the slate and you just say, Father, I'm taking responsibility for all of the ways my people have sinned. And as you do that, then God understands that your heart is being cleansed. God understands that you are contrite and that you're broken. And just as David said in Psalm 51, that the Lord doesn't delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. What he delights in is a broken and a contrite heart. And so when you come before God and you are broken and you say, Lord, I'm taking responsibility for everything that I've done that has caused you pain and sorrow in your heart. I'm taking responsibility for all the words that I've spoken against you, for the actions that I have done against you. And as you do that, then God starts to pour out his blessing into you. He hears your prayer, and he starts to pour out his blessing into you. I can tell you a story that happened to me back about 10 years ago. I was down in Kansas City at the call, a meeting of thousands of people, and we were praying and fasting. It was a all-day prayer and fasting meeting to pray to end abortion here in America, to stop the curse of abortion here in America. And we took responsibility for all the decisions that have been made that encouraged abortion, for all the decisions that encouraged the people to accept the Supreme Court decision that basically granted free abortion, free and easy abortion here in America, and all of the congressmen and all the legislatures that had passed laws that had enabled the abortion industry and funded the abortion industry and allowed people to think that it was okay to murder the innocents and shed the blood of the innocents. And so we took authority over all of those poor decisions, all of those bad decisions, all those decisions that have been inspired by the devil over the many, many years that abortion had slowly crept into our country, had slowly crept into our culture, and came to a place of acceptance, came to a place even of promotion, and taxpayers of this country were funding it. And so we spent a good bit of time that day in Kansas City taking responsibility for the sins of our forefathers, and then also taking responsibility for our own sin, the way we have in many ways acknowledged and participated and cooperated with the industry of abortion and the curse that it has brought on America. And after praying and fasting all that day, and we worshiped and we sang and we prayed and we cried and we listened to the Lord, and after that day, I couldn't hardly speak for about 3 days. It had such a profound impact on my life, and it just stunned me to realize the things that had happened here in America over the last 60 years and the profound impact that it had on me and on this whole country. And I started to understand God's will and His perfect desire for this nation in regards to protecting the unborn and protecting the innocents. And so it is always good when you pray and when you humble yourself before the Lord to take responsibility not only for your own sin, but the sins of your family and the sins of your country. And then Nehemiah goes on to say, we have acted very corruptly. And of course, that's true here in America. We have acted very corruptly. We have lied and we have cheated and we have stolen money from each other. We've lied to each other and stolen each other's dignity and stolen each other's innocence. And it's a national curse as well, that the corruption that goes on in this government and how people lie to each other and steal from each other and cheat each other. And granted, I've seen in other countries and other parts of the world, it's much, much different and much worse, if you can believe. It's much worse than it is here in America, and yet we have to take responsibility for the dishonesty in business, the dishonesty in government, and all of these things where we have acted corruptly, and it has caused the grieving of the heart of the Father God. And so he says, we have acted corruptly against you. We have not kept your commandments, the statutes and ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. And so he's speaking of the Ten Commandments there. Well, we don't specifically keep the Ten Commandments, but all of the laws in the United States are based on the Ten Commandments, and they are all based on the moral law that was established by the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. And that is basically the first five of the Ten Commandments. And then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that is basically the second five of the Ten Commandments. And so we still, in a sense, we still keep the Ten Commandments. And we still then keep the law in a way, not to be legalistic about keeping the law, but just in a desire to serve the Lord and a desire to know God, and a desire to do God's will, then we keep the Ten Commandments. And then Nehemiah goes on to say, verse 8, remember that if we are not faithful to you, that you told Moses you would scatter us to the nations. And that is what you've done. You've scattered us to the nations. Nehemiah is saying, here I am in Babylon. And as we look at our own lives, we get scattered. We get so far sometimes away from God, and we get so scattered, and we get away from the church, we get away from prayer, we get away from Bible study. After a while, those become foreign concepts to us, and we find all kinds of excuses not to go to church. We find all kinds of excuses not to pray. We find excuses not to read God's Word. And after a while, we've gotten so far away from God, and we feel like we can't ever get back to Him, that we're scattered so far away. And beloved, understand this, God says He will never forsake you and He will never abandon you. So anytime you want to come back to God, anytime you want to turn your life back to God, All you have to do is say, Lord, I want to come back to you. Lord, here I am. Here I am down on my knees again. I surrender to you. Here I am broken. Here I am in pieces. Here is my family in pieces. Here is my body, my health in pieces. Maybe divorce or financial ruin or your family breakdown. All kinds of things can put us on our knees and bring us to a place where we're crying out to God. And God loves that. He loves us when we turn back to Him and when we cry out to Him and we say, God, only you can put the walls back up in my life. Only you can put the gates back in those places the devil is coming in and out of my life and taking over in my life. Only you can restore those places and shut the gates and give me the strength to say no and give me the strength to say no to temptation or no to addiction or the strength to defeat the enemy in my life. And as you do that, as you say, Lord, here I am. I want to serve you. I pray, grant me mercy. Grant me mercy. In verse 11, Nehemiah closes up and he says, oh, I desire to fear your name. We desire to fear your name. And I pray that you would let your servant prosper this day and grant me mercy in the sight of this man. And then he says, I was the king's cupbearer, because the next chapter that comes into play in terms of how the king then helps Nehemiah with his desire to go back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to put the gates back in the wall and to restore the city of Jerusalem. Well, beloved, I'm going to cut the message short just a little bit today, but I want to say to you that if you have the walls down in your life, if the walls are broken down and the gates are burned, and the devil is running in and out of your life and running roughshod across you, and the devil has taken your family apart or in some way has you in bondage, has you in addiction, or has you broken down and crying out to the Lord, I pray that you would be broken and humbled and surrender yourself to the Lord and just cry out to Him and say, Lord, I know you can help me rebuild the walls. I know you can help me put the gates in the walls. I know you can help me and give me the strength to restore everything that the devil has stolen from me. And I guarantee you, beloved, that He can do it. God is able, He is faithful, and He is true. And if you will cry out to Him, even for salvation, if you'll say, Jesus, I have come to a place where I know I need a Savior, that my sin has overwhelmed me, my sin has come to a place where I recognize that I need a Savior, I can't do it without you, Jesus. When you come to that place and you repent of your sin and you ask the Lord to save you, He will be faithful and true then to save you, and He will come into your heart and reside with you, and with the Holy Spirit, follow it up with Christian baptism, make your confession of faith in Jesus, follow it up with Christian baptism, and God will be faithful and true to set your feet on a firm foundation and to put you on a new path, a new beginning, this first day of January in 2017. Well, I'm going to finish up my time here today as a recap of the events of the past year, just to recount and summarize some of the great things that happened in the Gather the Outcast ministry in 2016. We had many men come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the prisons, not only here in Norton, but in other places that I've preached, prisons in Africa, prisons here in Kansas, and we've had many men make confessions of faith and be baptized here in the prisons, and I praise God for that. And also, we have conducted some very good church revivals here in America and some great ones in Africa. We had one in Kampala, Uganda in September that actually there was an earthquake on the fifth day of the church revival. It shook the church and tipped all the water bottles over, kind of rocked people in their chairs a little bit. And so that was a powerful church revival. We had some great crusades this year in 2016. And we had tremendous crowds in Burundi, 15,000 to 20,000 some of those days. And in Butembo in northeast Congo, 15,000 to 20,000 over about a three-day period. And so we had some tremendous crusades, outdoor crusades. Some of the greatest crusades wasn't big crowds in attendance, But God did some mighty amazing things and gave some people some miraculous healings and broken off some chains of addiction and bondage. We did a crusade in Kilifi in a predominantly Muslim area out on the coast of Kenya. And there was many miraculous testimonies. People got healed of all kinds of things there. And we also did a great crusade in Oyugis in southern Kenya, up in the mountain region of southwest Kenya. And it wasn't a lot of people there in attendance, but it was a great crusade. Many people got healed, and the church there got bolstered and lifted up, and many people started to come to church there and rejuvenate that church. And a side blessing of the crusade there in Oyugis, the young pastor there at that church, he was 30-some years old, never been married, and the young lady who was my interpreter, beautiful young lady, named Celine, pastor got an eye for her, and they became engaged shortly after that crusade, and now they are a wedded couple and serving that church, serving the Lord in that village of Oyugis in southern Kenya. Well, we had many other things to be happy about, to boast about, to be proud of. Many people, thousands, were saved in all the crusades that we did in the church revivals. And many, many, many people got healed. We also got a good start on the orphanage project in southern Kenya. And we have a watchman's house built on the Living Water orphanage land. And also we have the foundation up about 3 foot high. And we're just waiting for the funding to come in so we can finish that building and finish up the foundation and go ahead and take the building on up, put the roof on it. And, beloved, I pray that you would pray with me and that we can get that building finished within the next few months and get children in there by the summer. I'll be going back to Africa again this spring or summer at the latest. If you think you would have a desire to go, contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the ministry, part of the funding, sit down, write out a check, or if you have questions about it, email me, pureprairie@hotmail, and I'd be happy to share with you the vision of the orphanage project, and we want to get that done, and you can be a big part of that if that is your desire and that is God's will for this time and in this season. Well, beloved, I thank you for listening. I look forward to serving the Lord in 2017. I look forward to bringing these messages to you, and I thank you for being out there to listen each and every week. Thank you again. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.